In 1963, French artist Robert Filio declared that on January 17th, art was born 1 million years ago when someone dropped a dry sponge into a bucket of water.
Okay.
Who that man was is not important. He is dead. But art lives on.
He comes from southern France, Filio.
Many artists and art organizations celebrate the birthday of art each year on January 17th.
This awareness makes you feel good. We feel good.
Now, I will electrify the grids.
January 17th, CITR 101.9 Vancouver unwraps another 24 hours of radio art. Art's 1,046th birthday. Midnight to midnight at CITR 101.9 FM. Online at CITR.ca.
After hearing all of these things, you're probably saying, what's the use of going on? There's no hope.
I'm Shani from NEPSI. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
Now!
Yo, Bleak! Yo, Bleak! You coming out to play?
What's the time on it?
Oh, no.
Yo, Bleak!
Anyway,
we got another game! Coming out!
I understand that, but this noise has got to stop.
All Bleak cares about is Bleak.
Is that so?
Oh, so that is. I mean, just take a look around.
Bleak brought this from me a year ago, man. This is a rare out-of-print bird.
Look, I'm a delivery man making deliveries, and any static, take it up with Bleak.
Bleak, two E's, one K. Right now, I'd like to bring to the stage a fine musician. Well, a very dear friend. Please give a warm welcome to Mr. Bleak.
Hey guys, yes, it's Bleak in here with you live today in the studio on CITR, Exquisite Corpse Radio, right here on the University of British Columbia in Vancouver, BC, where we are a month away from the Olympic Games, less than a month away. Are we excited? Not so much, I guess. But nevertheless, we'll be here and we'll be witnessing what happens, and God only knows. This week I've got something special for you, like you just heard, the PSA. It's a recycled PSA, like the one we used last year for 24 Hours of Radio Art. And that's my voice there, yes. 24 Hours of Radio Art comes up Sunday. It is 24 hours, as advertised. It is a celebration of art's birthday. Art, the creative act, as an entity. And we're gearing up for that. Now, I got some... Got some material from Phineas Narco from National Cynical Network that I'm going to be playing for you tonight, and we're going to get to that in a few minutes here. I'm going to start you off tonight with Tortoise and an album called Beacons of Ancestorship. This is a newest, kind of a new thing from them. She came out in June, I believe. So here's the first track, High Class Slim Came Floating In. Exquisite Corpse. We'll be right back.
big government and big pharma have entered into a secret conspiracy in which secret government contracts are sold to big pharma that allow for secret chemicals to be placed in coffee seeds, all under the watchful eye of Big Coffee, who is secretly working with other world forces, all in a sinister plot to get alien embryos in our coffee so Big Pharma can sell us alien contraceptive pills. Or, if you'd rather get some rational news, check out Radio Free Thinker, the radio show / podcast that promotes skepticism, critical thinking, and science education, every Tuesdays at 4 p.m. on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
Hey everybody, it's Exquisite Corpse Radio on CITR 101.9. Just heard Tortoise in there. Tortoise from the album known as Beacons of Ancestorship. Their signature intersection of dub, dance, jazz, techno, rock, and classical minimalism remains an American and international original. High Class Slim came floating in the name of that song. Thanks for joining us tonight on Canada's favorite radio show. Remember, like I told you before, 24 hours of radio art happens January 17th every year here at CITR, and there's a tentative schedule. We're still working out some things. A lot more people in the community this year sort of hopped on board, and which was kind of startling, but very, very nice. Like I said, I got some tracks, now three long tracks, from National Cynical Network. Sorry, I just had some gas there. And Phineas Narco, and I was going to tell you a little bit about that swell individual. So let me get to that here. It's called Early Work from Phineas Narco and the National Cynical Network, but remastered in 2008. This is a super obscure psychedelic trilogy following a somewhat nonlinear narrative with various leitmotifs running through. Did I pronounce that wrong? And synopsis. Down and out National Cynical Network alumni member Ronald Redball's amnesia is cured by recovering Robitussin addict Wobbly, aka Mr. Chemistry Homework. Using an experimental helmet of Wobbly's own design, he takes Ronald to the NCN studios where many people from Ronald's past are broadcasting. Alexander T. Newport, Joe Sledgehammer, and Don Joyce of Negative Land. There, Ronald uncovers a sinister plot against him, masterminded by the mysterious cult leader Brian Sloat, who periodically jams NCN's signal from a nearby volcanic island. Ronald and Mr. Chemistry Homework travel to the island at the end of the trilogy to confront Sloat. So, it doesn't look like we were going to be able to get to all of this during 24 Hours of Radio Art, so I wanted to present the first part tonight. So here it is for you.
Hi, Mommy.
There is nothing wrong with your television set. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are controlling transmission.
Something must be wrong with the radio, man.
There is nothing wrong with your radio.
Bring up the button.
Do not attempt to change the station.
If we wish to make
we are controlling the transmission. We control the volume.
We will control
we can
the
change
volume.
The tone to a fuzzy
we
bass.
We will control
or focus it to a tinny treble.
We can roll the
we can speed things up so fast you can hardly understand what's going
on. Or we can make it
we can change the focus of a soft star.
We control the content. We can make it boring.
Food!
Or hilarious.
Food! Food!
We can make it stupid.
Here comes the food.
Or moronic. Or moronic. Or moronic.
Food fight!
It's our show. We can do anything we want. Because this is...
The National Cynical Network.
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
About to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to
the National Cynical Network.
Parental discretion is advised.
Hi, folks. Donald Redbox. Remember me? I used to be famous on Over the Edge and other shows. Now I sell burgers. So come on down to Donald Redbox. Crack on burger deal. The burgers crackle and they're hot and tasty. We got burgers for your butt. So come on down. We're located on the interstate next to Howard Johnson.
Hello, Jamie, sit down. Oh, Susie, I can hardly wait till Saturday night. I got the cutest new dress. Boy, the wheels are sure buzzing today.
You think nothing ever happened around the school except what they do. We'll be hearing about that party for a week.
Oh, you have to admit, hardly anything does happen except the things they run.
I'll be glad to get out of this school where one bunch runs everything.
What party are you talking about?
Don't tell me you haven't heard.
Bob
is giving a party Saturday night for the social set of our class.
I thought you'd be asked, Marion. We used to know
Bob
you real well, and you lived in the same street and everything.
We used to get together when we were high, but I haven't seen
Bob
much lately.
Well, it's for sure that you and I won't be asked. Hey, Clara, listen, let's get some kids together Saturday night, you know, and go to a movie.
Gee, I wonder if
Bob
will ask me. Kids in that gang sure have a lot of fun. Maybe I could get into more of their doings. I bet
Bob
will ask me. After all, we used to be good friends. I wish I wasn't so shy. I never know what to talk about.
Hey, look at the time. I gotta get home.
Yike, Mom.
Are you coming, Marion?
I think I'll stay and finish my Coke.
Bye, Marion.
Bye.
Mr. Ronald. Someone to see you, Mr. Ronald.
What? Oh, hold on a minute. Hey, Waldo, turn down that loud news app. Turn it down. What did you say?
Mr. Ronald, there's someone here to see you now, this very minute.
Who?
He says his name is Mr. Dentistry Homer, Mr. Ronald.
Well, what does he want? I already have a dentist.
He insists to be seeing you, sir. In fact, he's now pushing me aside. Ronald! 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 Listen to me! Listen to me! You must snap out of it!
Sir? Why are you slapping yourself?
There you are! Ronald! Listen to me! It's me, Mr. Chemistry Homer! Do you remember?
No.
Think again, Ronald. Mr. Chemistry Homer. Come on, Ronald!
Oh, there's a Mr. Chemist who comes in on Thursday nights with a mysterious male companion for drinks. And he's a lot taller and wears unusual leather gear.
Okay, I didn't want to have to do that, but do you remember this?
Let me see that. It's a hat. A little green hat.
Worth how at fetching. Edgecon.
Huh? What? Edgecon?
Edgecon, Ronald. Remember the semi-biannual science fiction convention and all that? You covered it for UMN. No? No? Okay, what about this?
That's an empty bottle of cough syrup.
Then why does it sound like a piece of paper? Oh, sorry. I meant this!
Oh, that's a book. Let me see that, man. Yeah.
What are those people doing over there?
Huh.
They're making such a
racket. Oh, it's a book about suicide. Oh, something familiar here.
Huh? It's your first show, Ronald, back when you were still a junior member of the Suicide Club. Please remember.
Oh, I feel strange.
You have lost your memories, Ronald, and...
Memories?
Memories, Ronald, and we must restore them. Here. This small tape player, which I have made...
It says Radio Shack on it.
Which I had made for me will restore most of your misting memory. Now sit down.
It's not really misting. It's just kind of damp. I'm not sure what I'm supposed to be remembering, but I don't think it'd be a good idea. If I did have a previous life or history, I don't want to know about it. I'm happy now, you see. I have my burgers and my customers. You see, sir, I don't need the past. I hold my own future in my hands, and I see that it is good.
Ronald, you're delirious. Snap out of it.
No. You see, I have learned a basic truth of life.
No, Ronald,
that is
Ronald,
truly...
Ronald, sit down. Here's $10. Sit down.
Where?
Right here.
Okay.
Okay, here. On this tape, in this machine, I have compressed all of your life's work. Your old memories. Voices of people you knew and all the UMN shows that you have once done. This is the signal. Hopefully, it will force itself.
Ouch!
It's way into
it
your
hurts.
Brain. Carving new paths.
Too tight.
It will restore the lost patterns and the portions of your memories. At least that's the theory.
Oh, what's that? Ouch! Have you tried this before?
Yeah, sure. Several times. On people. I mean, animals.
Oh,
small
ouch.
Animals. Well, not actual annual animals per se. Creatures. Potato bugs.
Did it work?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah,
ouch!
I think so.
Oh.
They seemed happy, or at least fairly well-adjusted afterwards. There were a few problems.
Like what?
They exploded.
Ouch!
But don't worry, your head won't burst setting meaty brain pulp outwards or splattering the walls with disgusting gore. It might make your head expand a bit. But don't sweat it, no problem. Fine, yeah. Cool. Well, anyway, all I can do is flip this switch.
So, with us in the studio tonight, Mr. Ronald Redball and the Fugitive. Good evening, gentlemen. Now, what distinguishes these people from other people?
Edgecon, the best show in the world, Edgecon.
Hi there, Mother American Leadership. See, I'm Bill, and these people are...
I'm Ben.
Dave. John, there's Dave. We're broadcasting live, intercept the signal with our media ship here in Florida Keys.
We have taken control.
Right, and the thing is there's over 5,000 little islands. We're not going to give you the specific keys. Let's consider this an experiment, guys. Sorry, UMN, Big Brother deal.
In
experiment radio.
You know what, we didn't get your name or where you came from.
This is Ronald.
Yeah, I thought so. I'm calling from Ronald. So
I'm calling from... This is Ronald. Drink me.
And now, Ronald Redball Productions Limited, in association with the Universal Media Network, brings to you the biggest event in self-serving, star-studded, super spectacular specials.
I want you to strike a match and touch it to the substance.
What?
No, I'm not ready yet. Watch out!
Where is my squat box?
disappointed, but it's, I guess it's success. It was fun. That's it. It's one of those things. So, anyway, yeah, I have Major's home telephone number now. Surprise, surprise. So, and yeah, Fantasia is supposed to be like meeting me sometime this week. You better get on the phone and tell her that I'm my psychopath. And then I might try and do something strange and crazy to her. You never know. According to Mr. Kimmis and yourself, I need major psychiatric help, but that's okay. We know differently, don't we? Anyway, you have a great day. Bye.
Now, for the first time, CinemaScope's amazing anamorphic lens engulfs you in the panoramic range of an underwater world you have never been part of before.
Hello?
Hello
there. Okay, hi, Martha.
Hi, how are you?
Doing real well. Where are you dialing in from?
The city of Los Altos Hills.
My favorite city in the country.
Cool.
Is everything ready?
Yes. Absolutely everything.
Ladies and gentlemen,
let's talk turkey.
So I'm sorry to report the ceremony cannot take place.
You unbelievable bastard.
Suspicion and cynicism. That's their job.
They trusted you. They trusted you to pull this off. So I guess they lose again.
You're retracted!
What should we do?
I know how to handle people.
Can we get into the light? I have the knowledge and the power.
It is the really fast way to stop yeast infection itching.
Don't wait till they say it's scientifically proven. Start now.
When we return to our planet, the High Court may well sentence you to torture.
Oh, how lovely cooks the meat, oh, how lovely cooks the meat. When I get back home to eat, oh, how lovely cooks the meat. I'm coming through the door, I cannot wait no more. And at the table, take my seat and put my teeth into that meat.
Oh, my dear, your teeth are strong, and I hope that I'm not wrong. Though the steak is burnt and tough, I am sure you'll get enough.
Oh, how lovely.
Provocative and controversial. Carried up and down in atomic-powered elevators. Carried up and down, carried up and down, carried up and down, carried up and down, carried up and down in atomic-powered elevators.
This is CITR 101.9 Vancouver and Exquisite Corpse Radio. You're listening to National Cynical Network's Needle in the Red episode. Really normal and everything. Number one, director's cut. There are three of these. I'm going to see if I can play one or two of the other ones during Sunday, but it doesn't look too good. We might be able to get most of number two in on Sunday, but people have taken up all the slots.
What's the secret of a long and healthy life,
anyway, I shouldn't
professor?
Be talking over this. I should let you enjoy,
yeah.
As I am.
Specifically calling you, if I can ask, I'm calling Major, so nothing on your part, thank you. Yeah, the party was, I guess, a success. It was fun, festive, it's one of those things. So, anyway, I have Major's home telephone number now. Surprise, surprise. So, Fantasia is supposed to be, like, meeting me sometime this week. You better get on the phone and tell her talking on my psychopath. And then I might try and do something strange and crazy to her. You never know. According to Mr. Kim, you said yourself, I need major psychiatric help, but that's okay. We know differently, don't we? Anyway, you have a great day. Bye. Hasta.
Everybody loves somebody sometime. Hello, I'm Dean Martin, and I've been dead for 5 years. But I had to come back to tell you about the KFJC year 2000.
Oh, he fell over.
Wait a minute. Oh,
cut.
Hello, I'm Dean Martin, and I've been drunk for 5 years.
Dean, that's dead for 5 years.
Oh, what?
It's been dead for 5 years.
Oh, what? Oh, hello, I'm Dean Martin, and I've been dead, I've been drunk for, hello, you know, for 5 years I've been deadly drunk, but that didn't, oh, hey, cool daddy, but that didn't stop me from coming here to tell you about my year 2000 celebrity roast, that's right, we actually roast Jerry Lewis on a big barbecue spit with celery. Buy my new celery roast. They are fun for the whole damn family. Or my name isn't Religious Martin. When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's a... Oh, Avery, I need another martini.
We cannot hear the barber. Now, is the hay thick enough for farm members?
You hear it, right?
I don't hear it.
A lot of celebrity info here on Celebrity Roast, but that's enough for me. Now we get back to Alan Newport hosting the festivities.
No, but
watch this weekend as we get some extra good beef jerky the old-fashioned way, as we spit George Burns from mouth to anus on an aluminum spike. Charcoal grilled at 350 degrees over delicious mesquite broil for 3 hours. Mmm, I smell something burning crazy.
That's right, Dean. And boy, it's gonna be great, and it's gonna make him squirm.
Oh, back the fuck.
There you go. Now, kick back as I smoke 5 more cigarettes and drink some martini here on the Dean Martin Celebrity Roast.
Dean, are you gonna die of cancer someday with the cigarette? Don't make with the head, yeah. Oh.
Time for some kosher lean meat here at Celebrity Roasts. George Foreman and Will Chamberlain are spitting the younger Jerry Lewis right next to the older version of himself, who I believe traveled in time or something. This is a good time to tell you. This is a public service announcement. Alcoholism is a terrible, horrible disease. It ruins lives and destroys families. But I've turned it into a successful and lucrative career. Sure, I've had some blackouts, like the 60s, and most of the 70s. Everybody loves a blackout sometimes.
That's right.
Oh, excuse me.
That's right.
That was half of my intestine.
I built my fortune by being a spaz.
Well, looky here. Amazingly, the younger Jerry Lewis, though spit from out the anus, can still flap his big Yiddish gums. We'll put a stop to that as Lone Green shoves a basket. Even though I've been dead for several years, don't forget to buy my Celebrity Roast videos. My parents need the money to pay all the alcohol bills I run up in 40 years of good, good living. Everybody makes a living.
Dean, you got a horse by you. Don't put your old boy.
Welcome to the range.
I'm so drunk. I see a great big sausage.
Where am I?
In the village.
What do you want?
Information.
Whose side are you on?
That would be telling. We want information.
Information.
in a hit. The seconds that I'm living, cause they're lyrically equipped. When they come, that's all I'm talking for me like a magnet. I wanna be free, free. I don't wanna be number six.
We'll be right back.
Hi, Mother.
You're late today.
I was having a cold with some of the gang.
Eric.
What time is it, Mrs. Ellsworth?
Time to go home.
Mother, I was wondering whether I could
Bob?
Some night for a little while. No, I'm afraid not, Marion. It's too much work and worry and money.
Hi, Dad.
Hi, son. Hello, dear. Hi, Marion. What's too much work and worry and money?
Oh, Marion has some idea about having
Bob
over some night.
You don't seem to mind when Eric brings home all his friends. You feed them and you don't mind the work then.
I'd have to bake and go to a lot of trouble.
Mother, you don't understand. The kids don't expect their mothers to go to a lot of trouble. They just won't cope.
You haven't seen much of
Bob
lately, have you? I used to think you two were great pals.
I know. I seem to have gotten out of touch with
Bob
somehow.
And it seems to me they were always the ones who didn't seem quite to fit in with the others.
Mother, may I be excused? I have some homework to do.
Yes, but take your dishes to the sink and save me some work.
I hope
Bob
remembers to call. She ought to know how to talk to
Bob.
You know, Evelyn, it does seem that Marion's left out of the gang more and more lately.
We seem to get along all right without entertaining everybody in town. She's just a child.
Maybe it'd do her some good to have a little party. Nothing elaborate, but she seems awfully quiet lately.
Mal, why are you getting so excited all of a sudden about Marion's social life?
Evelyn, I didn't mean to upset you like this.
She's just a child.
And that's another thing. Why don't we have
Bob
over once in a while? Seems to me that the only time we ever entertain is...
And what's got into you, Mal?
Well, I'll tell you, Evelyn.
Bob?
Evelyn, I didn't mean to upset you like this. Have some more coffee.
No, thanks, Mal. I've had enough.
Don't get me wrong. Marion's a wonderful kid. I think she studies too much. Some people don't appreciate you until they get to know you. I can remember kids like that. I just want...
Bob?
I suppose what you mean is...
No. No, Evelyn, that isn't what I mean at all. Have some more coffee.
Well, no, thanks, Mal. I've had enough.
I know,
Bob,
and I understand you,
Bob,
and I like
Bob,
but, well, you know you are shy and back in school.
I suppose you're right, Malcolm. To tell you the truth, I'm scared to have
Bob
you here. I never knew how to act or what to say.
Evelyn, I didn't mean to upset you like this. Have some more coffee.
No thanks, Mel. I've had enough. It's different with boys. You give them a piece, and it's all the same to them.
Have some more coffee.
No thanks, Mel. I've had enough. All right, Mal. The most successful people weren't always the most popular kids. Remember
Bob
back in the days at school? He was always on the fringe, where you say Marion is. But he's the most popular and successful man.
Yes, I remember. But somewhere along the line,
Bob
learned to get along with other people, or he wouldn't be the community leader he is today.
Maybe I could arrange a little party for her. But I'll need your help.
Have some more coffee.
No thanks, Mal. I've had enough. I think I will have some more coffee.
Well, now all we have to worry about is whether
Bob
is going to call or not.
How do you explain so many of these things that are so much a part of our lives, of our consciousness? You have to see that these are all things that came about when we invented something called the
I see people who are suffering, and I see people who are struggling, and I see people who are unhappy, and I see people who are mad, and I see people who are full of stress and tension, and I want to say to them, there's no stress in the world. The world is absolutely just the way it's supposed to be. It's perfect, just as it is. Everything that is. Everything that's ever happened to you already has. You can understand that worry, for example, is nothing more than thought. And what is there to worry about? Worry, which is a consuming thing that creates what we call stress, which is just stressful thinking. What is it? Here's a good parable for you. Everything that you worry about, give it this thought. There ain't no use worrying about the things that you don't have control over. Right? Because if you don't have control over, there's no sense in worrying about it. That makes sense, doesn't it? So I don't worry about the things I don't have control over. Now, there ain't no sense worrying about the things you have control over. Because if you have control over them, there ain't no sense in worrying about it. Now we've covered everything that it's possible to worry about.
Want to know what's going on around town? LiveMusicVancouver.com is the Lower Mainland's comprehensive source for live music listings. We've got more than 350 shows listed at any time, and our listings are updated continuously by hundreds of the very people who put on the shows you love. Artist information and MP3s are accessible right from the listings, as are maps and calendars for virtually every venue in the city. All this and tons more, totally free, at LiveMusicVancouver.com.
Zip in the trunk.
No negative.
If you have a wrong answer, I'll shoot you. Direct center in the heart.
Yes, you must shoot all of these
things. What was Sledgehammer's middle name?
Prometheus.
He didn't have a middle name.
He was a good cat.
It did have a middle name. It should be Prometheus.
No, he had no middle name. It was Sledgehammer.
Mr. Sledgehammer, was that your Jean-Luc Ponty album that was playing? Is that what you boys are still listening to now, Alviso? Really now, flush that jazz fusion down the toilet.
Now, I warned you about shooting.
I'm on the phone. You can't shoot me.
We have friends in your area. Made it through.
Joe, remember the one where him and the Roy ended up in bed and they were like spying on those people?
Yeah.
And you ended up in bed and they thought they was like drunk and they had...
You know the name of that episode?
What's that? What's the name?
You know the name of that episode?
Do I know the name of it? No, the one where they were investigating.
Yes, it happened
and
what night?
And ship in the car that he was like the principal thing and he came to the school and he saved him from the bad guy. Remember that one too?
Now we're going into another episode.
Yeah, it was another episode. I'm talking about another episode of Sledgehammer. So you ever watch that show?
Occasionally.
Real kind of area. Yo, hey, yo. I ain't dumb enough that, you know, Sledgehammer, I can definitely show you the normal way, you know. Yo, that's the first version. You ever see my movie?
Driver's 5 minutes to pry the liquor bottle out of his hand. He had a wife and kids, but that explains the drinking.
Trust me, I know what I'm doing.
But if it's any consolation, it is one of the more peaceful ways to die. Locked in a car, clawing the doors, your lungs fill up with water. Well, I guess the first couple minutes is pretty scary, but then you die, so you don't know. I can't understand how a drunken driver who drank the drink and never drank. It's hard to believe. It's also hard to say.
Oh, shut my door! Get your gun out! Hold him!
thought violence was against your way of life.
It's not mine.
Hey, this is the 80s.
I've read a lot of books. War and Peace, the first half.
Would you have killed me, Crosby, on the first episode or waited till the, 16th episode? Would you have?
Well, she wouldn't be stiff. She'd be stiffening up, though. It takes a little bit longer.
Sledge!
She'd be a corpse.
Would you have killed Denise Crosby on the first episode or later on?
Dr. Stone, would you come down to the station house and give our sketch artist a description of the man?
Would you shot her?
You attacked her?
Right now, her body would be right about there, all outlined in white chalk, including the cigarette, probably.
What was the funniest line from Sledgehammer? I can tell you my favorite line.
And Sledge, I got 12 kids. That's a lot of mouths to feed. I need all the money I can get just to put them through school. And I'm done with the 12 kids. I'm spending what's left on myself. There's a condo in Florida I want to buy. I need cable TV and a new car.
Would you have killed Denise Crosby in the first episode or later on?
I wouldn't mind at all.
Oh, Mr. Fredhammer.
Yep. Pretty soon we'll have to call
the
next
Hammer.
Hello? She's
oh,
dead.
Oh, Mr. Hammer, Detective Hammer and Protector Doro.
Yeah.
And the captain, he's always infiliating.
Yeah, get on with it.
Yeah?
Maggot.
What do you say? What did you say? What did you say?
Are you taping?
Yeah, 3-4 the direction, so I know how to get there.
Okay. Hi, Scotty.
Yeah.
How you doing, baby?
Oh, I have an erection.
Okay. Are you listening?
Yeah.
Okay, I hear you're recording.
Yeah, just so I can remember the direction.
Okay. You have to get on 680. No, take 17.
No.
Take 17 south. Get off on Hamilton exit. Make a left onto Hamilton. Are you listening?
Yeah.
Okay, then go to Bascom. You hear me?
Yeah.
Then make a right onto Bascom.
You're taking the long way.
That is not the long way. What the fuck is wrong with you guys? Shut up. Okay, do you hear me so far? 17 south to Hamilton, make a left onto Hamilton, make a right onto Bascom,
yeah.
Go down to Bascom, go all the way down Bascom until you hit Kirtner, make a right onto Kirtner, okay?
Yeah.
Then make a left onto, you've been here before, you helped me break into my house, remember?
Okay.
Okay. Apartment number 2.
Okay.
I suggest you park somewhere out in the court.
Okay.
Do you hear me?
Yeah. And I have to bring the
name. Yes, you have to bring the name.
Hey, how about getting us some pizza?
Did you bring pizza?
Sorry, I don't have any money.
Mother?
What is it, Marion?
Was that the phone?
No, dear, I'll call you.
Thank you.
impression. I'm wondering if the kids are impressed by the advertising message. Do they miss the other part of the message that you take these particular drugs if you're in pain? I guess they missed that.
Hey, look. Hey, we'll start with the Giants, Mike, and then maybe he's got one strikeout that the Cardinals have. But it came behind a walk. And a check swing roller to his right.
Yeah, I mean, oh, God, it's like the best party. There was leg breaking and, the paramedics were here and, oh, God, and the vice squad and, yeah, we'll send you a bill. That's what they said. We'll send you a bill. We said, oh, no, send it to Jason. So, yeah, something about a body, but we said it's an education also. But, I hope they said, Mike, you have, like, a lot of money for, like, funeral expenses and, like, they killed the weatherman. Oh, my God. Well, just have to get to the weather signal. We'll get back to you on this one. We're going to go now, and, I said, yeah, Christmas, you know, it's going to be like a black Christmas now, but, we'll talk to you later. Blah, 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 bye.
Malcolm. Marion. Marion.
Yes, Mother?
It's time to go to bed.
Yes, Mother.
The party that Marion wants to go to so desperately is not important in itself, but it is important as a symbol. Marion was rejected today, and the experience could influence her personality and development. If she felt accepted, and therefore assured, like Rod Hunter, the whole pattern of her life would be different. If she didn't care about social life, like Peter McGibbon, she wouldn't judge her own worth by an invitation to a party. If she had an attractive personality, like Ben and her family's help, she could be a successful social climber, maybe even get into the clique. The degree of social acceptance that each teenager experiences leaves its mark on his personality pattern. Lack of social acceptance can leave emotional scars. And that's why for Marion, Today's rejection is important. Time and experience will be on her side. She can do much herself. But is it not a job for parents too? What can they do? What can they do? What can they do? What can they do? What can they do?
Perhaps there was someone with you.
No, not really with someone, with you. I didn't mean as an insult. What I really meant was that I'm with the state police here, and when I'm with them, I'm with someone, but right now I'm on my own. I mean, I'm not with a lot of people, just you.
Well, I wouldn't like to disturb you. I'll leave you alone if you prefer it.
No, you don't really have to go at all. I like it, you know, because I sort of get the impression that you want to leave, but you don't like to leave because maybe you think I think it looks suspicious, me being a policeman and everything. You don't have to think that because I haven't really got a suspicious mind at all. I look suspicious myself. A lot of people think I'm suspicious, especially when I stand around on street corners. One of our own boys picked me up the other week. He thought I looked a bit too suspicious standing on the street corner and everything. Tell me something. I couldn't help noticing when you checked in tonight. It's part of my job. I notice human individuals, and I noticed your face. I said to myself when I saw you, I said, that's a guy with the most normal-looking face I ever saw in my life.
It's very nice of you to say that.
Not a bit, not a bit. It's great to see a normal face, because I'm a normal guy. It'd be great for two normal guys like us to get together and talk about world events, you know, in a normal sort of way.
There's nothing I would like better than that, but I don't have much time.
Oh, it's a pity, because may I say one other thing to you? It was really on my mind. I've been thinking about it quite a lot. I noticed when you was checking in, you had a lovely, pretty little girl with you. Really lovely. As a matter of fact, she wasn't so little kind of thing, but she was fairly tall. Well, I mean, taller than little, you know what I mean? But she was really lovely. I wish I had a lovely, pretty tall, lovely little girl like that.
Well, that's just my daughter.
Your daughter? Gee, great to have a lovely, tall, pretty, little, small daughter like that. Gee, I'm sorry. I shouldn't say that. I get sort of carried away, you know, being so normal and everything. Tell me, when you were standing there at the desk checking in with the night manager, Mr. George Swine, who I happen to know is a personal friend of mine, I was wondering if he picked you up with sort of good accommodation here.
Yes, they were extremely cooperative.
You're quite sure about that? Because, I mean, I could really easily have a word with George Schwein. I mean, he's a really normal, nice sort of guy, and I'm only going to have a normal word in his ear, and you'd be surprised what things could happen from a thing like that. I mean, he probably volunteered some of the troopers out so you could have a lovely room, a bridal suite for you and your lovely little girl.
No, please, I don't want you to take any trouble on my account. We're perfectly comfortable.
But he should do it. It's his job to fix you up with something nice. I mean, you know, he gets paid for doing that thing, and I mean, when he sees a guy like you coming in all normal and everything with a lovely little girl beside him, he should say to himself, gee, I gotta give that guy a lovely, sort of comfortable, foamy bed to sleep in. I mean, you know, I just don't like to hear things like that happening because I could go over and really take a swipe at him for not giving you a lovely, comfortable, sleepy movie star bed. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, what does he got you on the floor or something?
Well, the little girl is probably asleep already in the bed, and I don't know why we're discussing this.
Listen, why don't you let me have a look at the accommodation that you have now and really take it in for a second, then I can come down and have a word with George Swine. It would be so simple.
No, you really shouldn't worry about it.
You know, you can ask me.
I think that I should go upstairs.
You're going because you maybe think that me being a policeman and everything, I think you're sort of suspicious. I don't think that at all. I think you're really normal and everything. I don't have to go because of that.
No, it's been very nice talking to you.
Yeah, listen, before you go, I was wondering whether maybe in the morning, you know, me being lonely and normal and everything.
No,
maybe
we should like have to get up for breakfast
with me, perhaps. Would you like that?
Sure.
I can arrange that with George Swain, the night manager. You could have it laid out already.
Okay, thank you so much. Good night.
You have a most interesting place tonight.
believe that you are special, that somehow the rules do not apply to you.
And brought in a string of Christmas tree lights. And the lights were different colors, and they would flash and blink on and off randomly. The whole thing was just blinking on and off. But the person didn't lay them out in any organized order. He just had them clumped over his arm. It was this big cluster of this string of lights. And we in the audience looked at it for a while, and not much happened. It was just random firing. And then he turned on some music. And first he put on a piece by Beethoven. And within a very short period of time, within a minute, the music had this magical effect. It organized the lights, and they started forming a pattern. In fact, they were in complete concordance with the music. They formed the pattern of blinking that was in the same tempo as the music and went with the nuances of the music. It was sort of amazing. But then he switched off that music, and he put on a piece by John Coltrane, a piece of modern jazz. My favorite. And within another short period of time, in less than a minute, the lights became reorganized again and started going to the tempo of the new music and showing the nuances of the new music. Isn't that amazing how sound can actually reorganize light? Actually, it didn't happen, as you could realize. It wasn't that anything changed in the lights. It was inside. It was in our minds. And what happened for me happened for everybody else there, too. We reorganized our thinking. Because when we saw this jumbled mess, this random pattern, I would argue we don't like that. We don't like confusion as humans. And even when we're not trying to, even when we're unconscious of it, we tend to organize our world. And that's what we did. Our minds did it automatically, looking for patterns, constantly looking for patterns. So that's handy. Since we have that tendency anyway, it makes sense that we're going to develop theories. Now, I want to give you a test at this point. You're thinking, oh, darn, I didn't want to have a test on the first day of class. But here it is.
It's a grand magic.
there's a rope loose.
Get it.
Ronald, I want you. No, don't put it in here.
I refuse. I don't care about this.
Mr. Kenmore, can't you get a hold of this guy?
KPFA members, be subscribed.
He can't be in control. Keep the roaches in control.
It doesn't matter.
I don't like giant bugs.
Ronald's a closet case. I'm sorry.
Ronald, this is a radio studio. It's a respectable...
It doesn't matter. He's gone. He's been through a lot.
Basically, I tell you, this man has enlarged my mind.
I'm out here in the lobby,
there's this guy named Brian Slope. There really is a big bug in here. The main problem with Brian Slope is that we don't know where he is. Some information around here about the whereabouts of Brian Slope, right? Brian Sloat is,
You're paying us too much attention to that roach. Leave that roach alone. It's fine.
I'm gonna go see Brian Sloat. I'm trying to rehabilitate Ronald. He's been, after the phone show, he just had...
Leave the roach alone! What is wrong with you, gentlemen? Have you not seen the roach before? It's a ghetto roach.
Brian Sloat is on this island and I just gotta make it. That's the best.
No, Ronald's picking it up. Don't let Ronald pick it up. No, it's not the kind he's... No, it's Sloat, it's Sloat, it's Sloat.
In any case.
Oh, it's been a long time since I've seen you. You seem kind of disoriented.
Yeah, I'm very disoriented. I just got back. Summer's nowhere, man. I
You been sleeping much?
Not much.
You don't look like it. Like you've been up for days on end, man. I hear you got a nerve testing problem. Is that true? Is that fixed or what?
I've been awake for about 90 hours now, first of all, and there's just... I don't want to dive into more teenage college angst crap right now. It's... happier now than I've ever been in my life. I'm more disappointed and more optimistic, and everything's entertaining at the same time.
It's true.
See, the thing, I can't talk about this because it's just... There's gotta be messages here somewhere. We're gonna hang around here somewhere. I have a song, Leatherman. It's a debut, I don't think it's before. We'll play that, we'll have lots of fun, I'll help with that. I've mainly just gotta get the information on Brian Sloat, and then we've gotta tag it here. We've got a plot to keep on.
Okay.
Leatherman song? Oh god, I gotta find General Mint. It really is the biggest roach I've ever seen in the turtle.
Somebody hit the button, let me take a few calls.
That's painful. Why'd you believe,
Al?
That's painful.
You yogurt sucking leech.
Why'd you believe me?
Right? No. It's because you're rude.
Where am I?
Stupid.
Flesh.
Yo, that was nothing. Yo, that was my friend.
And he was the best.
Who are you people?
Your sledgehammer.
Hey, haven't I seen you on oatmeal boxes? Now I got a face.
Hey,
I'm gonna pick up every wackle that looks like that. Oh, you're yuppies, right?
Sledge, there have got to be 100 guys in there. What about you?
Sledgehammer, you're
Alex is
singing
the
song.
Hey, listen, Maggie,
you're
a sucker. I got nothing to do with Peter Gabriel.
Hey, you yogurt-sucking leech.
Hey.
Well, I'm Inspector Sledgehammer, and this be my gun.
We do know this,
my amigo. Brandy and Coke.
fine. We better get him right away, Jim.
In our house.
Mr. Hammer, you've got a 518 on three.
What's a 518?
I shoot things like that. Especially early in the morning. In the face of the western exposure, I don't like the sun waking me up in the morning.
Now, wait a minute.
I know what you're thinking. Did he shot five or six shots?
Only five.
Well, to tell you the truth and all the excitement, I kind of lost track myself.
Yeah, so did I.
But seeing that this is a .44 Magnum...
Seeing that's another show, that's another
world,
movie.
It can blow your head clean off. You can ask yourself a question.
18 on three.
Do I feel lucky?
Major. 518.
A phone call.
Do you, punk? Huh?
Punk.
Huh? Do you feel lucky? waiting for that, sir.
Is that you?
Oh. Saw you coming. Sheffield. I'm standing here. You make the move. You make the move.
Are you kidding? What do you mean you don't
appreciate
weapons?
Hey, stud, I thought you were protecting the doctor. I guess the only thing you shoot off is your
gun.
Do you read New American Magazine?
What's a 518?
It's all right. He needed sleep.
It's all right.
Man, how many times are you going to tell me that? An allergy?
Trust me, I know what I'm doing.
You're mean and you're aggressive and you don't show your love. You don't have enough love. We don't have enough love to go through all this, Gary.
Is that what you called me for, to shower me with compliments?
That stinking cop still alive.
You were
listening to me. Listen to me. You were yelling at me because there was no bags. You were yelling at me.
I was asking you to help.
You were.
The secret of a long and healthy life, Professor.
You're an idiot.
What's the secret of a long and healthy life, Professor? What's the secret of a long and healthy life, Professor? What's the secret of a long and healthy life, Professor?
No, I knew it too, because I saw everything.
And what's your name?
What's the secret of a long and healthy life, Professor?
And what's your name?
Life, Professor.
The best way to keep healthy is to...
I see. And what's your name?
They are chronic.
It's the secret of a long and healthy life, Professor.
Laborers of the
I love cabbage and cheese and corn and sausage.
The best way to keep healthy is
corn and
to eat
cheese.
What you don't like and do what you'd rather not. You will be healthy, but not so happy. If you live
would
on,
I
you
eat
it? You like what you eat, but
don't
you like. Do what you'd like to do. Then you'll be
poor.
Sir? It's a bit.
What's the secret of a long and healthy life, Professor?
It's a bit.
What's the secret of a long and healthy life, Professor? What's the secret of a long and healthy life, Professor?
It's a bit.
What's the secret of a long and healthy life, Professor?
I'm not getting a shock of 75 volts.
I'm not wearing any pants.
This may seem funny to you now, but you'll find as you get older that breasts are very popular.
Oy vey. How much does this cost?
Boys and men like them a lot.
I like their breasts.
Scientific, pushy, and in love with its machines.
Yet, at the same time, the
kind of grab you.
Miss?
What's the secret of a long and healthy life,
Miss
Professor?
Miss, delay our flight?
Hello, I am Professor Stephen J. Hawking, and I am a breastaholic.
In a society which would make God totally irrelevant.
Right.
What's the secret of a long and healthy life, Professor?
He wants to kick your ass. Guess what, scumbag? I'm gonna let him.
What's the secret of a long and healthy life, Professor?
I do the ass kicking around here. He wants to kick your ass. I do the ass kicking around here. He wants to kick your ass. I do the ass kicking around here.
To you now, but you'll find as you get older that breasts are very popular. Boys and men like them a lot, and so should you.
What's the secret of a long and healthy life, Professor?
Rest.
Please bring the bell.
What knockers?
Oh, thank you, Doctor.
People whine. You people, you ignoramuses that are listening right now, people whine about nuclear bombs and pollution and corruption as if their whining about it is going to change anything. People moan in the noblest ways about worldwide peace while they ignore the fact that world peace can only be a result of individualistic peace. You can't force peace. You can only allow it. And you're not allowing it if you're requesting violence. You're not allowing it if you're insisting that things change their shape and form. In fact, you're creating violence by resisting the here and now. The society is a dog. It resists the here and now by enforcing desegregation, by enforcing people to take part in things that they don't want to. Screw the better interests of society. A so-called better society is not going to come from repression and denial of individual rights. Why do you think we are where we are? Accept yourself, listener. Look inside yourself and accept what you see. Look at yourself without labels. Look at the generic you. Learn to unlearn all the idiotic ways you've been taught. Learn to be honest with yourself. Violence comes from resistance and denial of the here and now, of the way things are right this moment. The illusion, the monster, the big pipe dream has convinced you into believing that there is such a thing as normal. It pretends that we are not different, which is idealistic rhino poop. People only think that they have problems through an act of comparison, when clearly their only problem is in paying too much attention to other people who have a problem accepting them for the way they are. You are always and forever being yourself. Even at your most painful moments, allow yourself to live without worry of being judged, man. The negative repercussions that may arise out of you speaking your mind are nothing in comparison to the pain you feel for not speaking up. Scram and jam on this bite your tongue trap. Because it doesn't matter what attitude you utilize, your natural character makeup, your personality will always be subjected. Subjected to irritation, dislike, and people who go against your grain, like art bags, man. So what? They go against your grain. Well, you don't have to change it. You don't have to love them in the sense that you have to sit around with them. Just accept that you don't like them, okay? Prove it. Accept that they are who they are. They can't help who they are. They are who they are. They don't need to help who they are. So do you, with an aware and accepting attitude, these things will appear not to happen at all. Neither will the upset of your vibration last very long. Certainly not as long as you give between your increased awareness. So let off steam! Don't take no jive! Unless you think there's some greater payoff in keeping quiet. The longer you repress yourself in the name of proper behavior, the greater the chances that you're gonna get it. You're gonna get ill, man! Probably get cancer being all stressed up. Who the hell wants to live to be 75 and bring you misery with a paid-off house and a savings account? Just be your damn self. It's much easier. Much, much easier, man. Just to be yourself. Don't waste your time and energy paying attention to the idiots. The mob rules, man, when you listen to them.
Hi folks, Ronald Redball from Ronald's Cracklin' Burgers, where I'm out of here. If you don't like our food, I'll eat a bug.
Ronald? Ronald. Are you okay? Yes? Yes? Wow, oh wow.
You remember me? Come on, Ronald. Think.
Feathers!
Ronald! Ronald!
Mayonnaise!
Ronald!
Robert Vaughn!
Come on, clear up!
Nuclear cheese, narcoleptic hamsters, salad!
Ronald!
Sand salad! Yes,
Ronald,
I get it!
I want you to remember!
My God, I can remember everything! Trees, my old house, Volvos, lots of them! And swings!
Ronald.
Mr. Friday, receptacle programming, satellites, my fish, tape!
Ronald, that's just your life! What about me? Do you remember me?
Yes, yes, you went away, far away, and you never come!
Yes, I went away. 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 I went away.
Been listening to episode 3A of Needle in the Red, titled Really Normal and Everything, part 1 of 3, by the National Cynical Network. This episode featured Phineas Narco, Alexander T. Newport, and Ronald Redball. Also featured were Wobbly, also known as Mr. Chemistry Homework, Joe Sledgehammer, Gonkwheat, Jamian, Metallurgy Man, Mr. Chemist, and Don Joyce of Negative Land. The Prisoner theme, Freeman Mix, was from Power Themes 90, featuring MC Number 6. Staying Alive in the Wall was by Go Home Productions, mashing up Pink Floyd and the Bee Gees. Additional material from archive.org, Stanley Kubrick's Lolita with Peter Sellers and James Mason, The Learning Channel, Wayne Dyer, Peter Gabriel, and the Sledgehammer TV series theme, composed by Danny Elfman. The National Cynical Network is on the web at nationalcynical.com. All material in this program is fragmentary, reworked, and used fairly for the purpose of criticism and commentary of said material, as expressed through its uniquely subjective recontextualized and syntopical arrangement. Please don't sue us. This show is continued in part 2. Thanks for listening.